two of them there right now. One is in Kentucky, right out in Upton Glendale area. That is a Southie town, about a $4 million manufacturing warehouse. And then they're doing another one in West Tennessee, in Jackson, and right outside, and right outside Memphis. Yeah, in between Nashville, Memphis, and Louisville West. And so, basically, Ford Motor Company and this company, Session Proof Industry, where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment. The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow.
Time now for Soccer City on your home for Louisville City FC, ESPN 680, 105.7, and the ESPN Louisville app. Now here's the latest on Louisville's professional soccer club.
Coming up, it's happy times for Louisville soccer fans. Both Lou City and Racing Louisville are winning right now. They're both coming off of home games that they won last weekend. Will the good times keep rolling this weekend with Racing Louisville at home and Lou City heading on the road to take on the Tampa Bay Rowdies? A former Lou City star could be on the move to Mexico, and it's got implications for Louisville City currently. We'll explain what we mean by that. And the World Cup is coming to Louisville. Well, kind of. We'll get into that as well. Some news about the 2026 FIFA World Cup and its implications for our city, Louisville, Kentucky, coming out the last couple of days. We'll get into that over the course of the next hour. Soccer City from 6 to 7 o'clock here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. I'm Jeff Milby, Spencer Brown, anxiously awaiting a sweep of the Dallas Mavericks for his Boston Celtics, is our producer tonight. And Benton Newman is on his way, stuck in traffic from what we understand. He might be listening. That's one of the beauties of this show, Spence. We get so much interaction. Just kidding, we get very little interaction. I always kind of wonder if anybody's out there listening. Well, I can guarantee if Benton is in his car right now, he is listening. So we have at least one listener today. How exciting is that? Let's start with Louisville City. Let's get into Louisville City. They're coming off of a 2-1 win over North Carolina over the weekend, and they've got a big matchup this weekend, tomorrow night, Saturday night, it is Thursday, not Friday, Saturday night at 7:30 on the road at the Tampa Bay Rowdies. That rivalry has returned this year for the first time. Two of the best teams in the USL Championship over the last, five, six, 7 years. Remember, they met in three consecutive Eastern Conference Finals from 2020 through 2022. It is one of the most competitive rivalries in all of American soccer, not just the USL, but also MLS, wherever you want to look. One of the most competitive rivalries in all of U.S. soccer. And it's on the road this weekend for Louisville City, down in Tampa, rather St. Petersburg, in the Tampa Bay area, at Al Lang Stadium, a place, by the way, that Lou City has not won since 2018. So they are going to be up against it a little bit this weekend, but they're playing really well. That may go without saying if you've been listening to this show or just paying attention to Louisville City generally. They're in first place in the league, 8 games unbeaten. They're off to their best start through the first 10 games of a season ever. Terrific stuff for Louisville City so far in 2024. There are a little bit of injury concerns, which we will get into with Adrian Perez going down in that North Carolina win on Saturday, but there's depth to this team, as evidenced by Sam Gleadle coming off the bench and scoring a goal in that game. So lots to talk about with Louisville City. But let's start with one of the performances that really caught everybody's eye. Part of the conversation about this Louisville City win against North Carolina over the weekend was the performance of Aiden McFadden at right wing back. It's such an important position for Louisville City this year. The way that Danny Cruz is playing with his back five, three center backs, the two wing backs who have so much work on their plate, going up and down those wings, expected to work hard defensively and then work hard getting forward into the attack. And that's exactly what Aiden McFadden did on Saturday. had the assist, his first career Louisville City assist. Had an assist in one of the two Louisville City goals. That was the Sam Gliedel goal. This other goal, by the way, scored by Sean Tosh on a penalty. He continues to be perfect in regular season play from the penalty spot for Louisville City for the defender. But McFadden's performance, so impressive. It was the talking point after the game for Louisville City fans. And it belabors the point that all of these wingbacks have been so impressive for Louisville City. That is, in my opinion, their best position on the field. Their most depth across the field is at wingback, and it's a very important spot to have that depth because, like I was saying, those guys work their tails off running up and down the field. The work rate from the wingbacks for Louisville City this year is just incredible, just flat out incredible. And McFadden is part of that puzzle. Will he be a regular starter going forward? I would think. And I think that performance on Saturday might cement his status as a regular starter going forward. He's a guy with a lot of pedigree, right? Comes from Atlanta United, the Major League Soccer team. He's been with them for a long time, but never really has been able to break through into their first team, into their senior team, where he is a regular in the starting lineup for them at the Major League Soccer level. So he's spent a lot of his time down in the USL, whether it's with Atlanta United 2 years ago, were members of this league. Remember last year he was with Memphis, and he actually missed the penalty in the penalty kick shootout to allow Lou City to advance past them in the first round of the playoffs last year. And now he's on loan with Lou City this season. Big future, bright future, tons of potential in this kid. I think one day might be able to break into an MLS lineup, whether it's Atlanta United or someone else if they finally cut him loose. But right now, it is much to Louisville City's benefit that he is with them on loan from Atlanta. And that wingback spot, talked about the depth, so much of it. A conversation that I would imagine Louisville City fans are having all the time around this team is, who do you want to see start at wingback, whether it's on the right or the left? Benton and I have had that conversation on the show. Who do you want to see start there? Because McFadden, since he's come into this organization and into this team, has been phenomenal. Jansen Wilson, the rookie out of Belmont, the E-Town product, also played at UK briefly in his college career. He's been terrific, just an energy ball, that guy, up and down the right side. We've also seen him play a little bit on the left, if my memory serves. And then on the other side, Jake Morris, the newcomer, has been sensational. He had one of his best performances in a Louisville City jersey just a couple of games ago at Lynn Family Stadium. And then Amadou Dia, haven't even mentioned him yet. He's been a regular starter for this team the last 2 years. One of the veterans on this team. Tons of MLS experience for Amadou with Sporting Kansas City. He's been great the last 2 years for Louisville City, but it feels like he can't even really crack the lineup right now, the way that everybody around him is playing at that left wing back position in his case. So it's a great problem to have for Louisville City in a spot where they need that depth at wingback, like I've mentioned, because of how hard those guys work. And maybe right now that depth will be used in other places too, because one of the storylines coming out of that North Carolina game was the injury to Adrian Perez, newcomer, signed in the offseason, has been immense in terms of creating goal scoring chances for this team, primarily from right wing, where he can cut in on that left foot and either go for goal himself or link up passes with his teammates. Well, he went down in the 13th minute of that North Carolina win. Sam Gliedel had to come on for him, eventually scored the goal, Gliedel. And the injury to Adrian Perez is going to be of a longer-term variety. That's what Danny Cruz said today, Louisville City's head coach, when he spoke to the media ahead of training today. Said that it is looking like a longer-term injury. Didn't go into specifics, didn't say whether it was going to require surgery or what kind of treatment plan they were going to get into, just said that it was going to be longer-term. So that's certainly a negative for Louisville City because he has been so terrific this year, Adrian Perez. And like I was talking about the depth at wingback, well, the depth at winger is a little bit more thin. Remember, this is the same position where Brian Ombi was expected to be the starter on day one of this season. One of the main guys for Louisville City just straight up down the years. A star for Louisville City. One of the all-timers here in year 10 for Louisville City. A guy who deserves to have his name in the ring of honor or whatever kind of thing Louisville City comes up with, which they need, by the way. Not saying retire his jersey, but at least put him in the ring of honor, Brian Ombi. But he's out, right? He's going to be out for the entire season, we expect. That's not the way they've said it, but they said it's a long-term injury. I think reading between the lines, he's out for the entire year. So you've got Ownby down. You've got Adrian Perez down. Wilson Harris hasn't played for the last couple of weeks with a muscle strain. He's more of a center forward, but he's another option in that attacking end of things for Louisville City. So things are getting a little bit thin up front for the boys in purple right now. So that leads me to think that with all the depth they have at wingback, maybe we see somebody play a little bit further forward in the formation. Maybe we see Jansen Wilson get a little tryout at right wing over the next couple of weeks. He certainly got the athletic ability. He played in an attacking position in college. He wore the number 10 at both Belmont and Kentucky. He's a guy that's scored a couple of goals this year. Looks like he could fill that role. It'll be interesting to see if Danny Cruz looks that way for the next couple of weeks with that Perez injury. Maybe Aiden McFadden. We've seen him score terrific goals, notably with his left foot on a really acute angle just a few weeks ago, just to the right of the goal in an attacking position from that wing back spot. Maybe he gets a look at that right wing position for Louisville City. That'll be one of the big storylines, one of the big talking points, I think, for the boys in purple over the next few weeks. Finally, this year, that injury bug has shown itself. They've avoided it all year, really. Last year, remember, it was such a talking point. I mean, every week we'd come on this show and list out a bunch of guys were injured, whether they were questionable, whether they were just flat out. I mean, sometimes it was five, six, seven guys that were battling injuries that were at least questionable coming into a game. So far this year, it's just been the Ownby injury, which happened in the final preseason game. So that's, you know, almost a given at this point. Outside of that, there have not been a ton of injuries, but the wear and tear of the long season starting to pile up on Louisville City. It's not just Adrian Perez. It's not just Wilson Harris, who I mentioned. Kyle Adams has also been out along the back line, but he is expected to play a role sooner than later, according to Danny Cruz today. Both he and Wilson Harris expected to return in some form over the next couple of weeks for Louisville City. So that's a positive. And there's depth at his position too, right? We've seen Wes Sharpie come in and just be terrific. Picked up where he left off, where he's been a regular starter the last 2 years, kind of relegated to the bench because of Adams being one of the leaders of this team, the captain of this team. But when he goes down, Sharpie steps up. Next man mentality for Louisville City has been on display over the last couple of weeks with those injuries. So the question becomes, who's that next man at right wing now that Adrian Perez is hurt? Again, I think maybe you got an argument that one of those wingbacks, they're playing so well, you've only got two spots for those guys to play on. Maybe move one of them up into a more attacking position, get some of your better players on the field. It might be Danny Cruz might disagree with that because he values that depth at wingback because of all the work that those guys are expected to do, but maybe just as a temporary fix. I'm just saying it might be something that he considers for Louisville City. Mentioned again that they're taking on Tampa Bay this weekend. Huge game. Huge game. Can't be overstated, although it is mid-June, and we're going to play into November with this USL season this year. The playoffs won't even start until November, but it's a huge game in the month of June. Two top four teams in the Eastern Conference, with Lou City in first place, not just in the East, but the entire league, 3 points clear of Charleston in both races. It's really a two-team race right now as well for the overall regular season championship. And Tampa Bay, 10 points off Louisville City, in fourth place, under a new head coach, Tampa Bay. Robbie Nielsen, a guy who is from Scotland, played his entire career in both Scotland and England, notably with Leicester City, who soccer fans will remember for winning the English Premier League some years ago. He spent a long time as a coach in both Scotland and England, some teams that you will have heard of if you're a soccer fan, Dundee United, Hearts of Midlothian, comes over in the offseason to take over that head coach's role. Remember, Neil Collins last year left mid-season, went over to England. Nicky Law came back, a former Tampa Bay player, took over as a head coach, but evidently he's not ready for that role yet. He moved back down to an assistant, and it's a new head coach this year for Tampa Bay, Robbie Nielsen. So it'll be interesting to see how he approaches what is, like I said, the most competitive rivalry in all of American soccer between Louisville City and the Tampa Bay Rowdies. As Benton has finally navigated the traffic and joins us on Soccer City. What's going on, Benton? How are you? You look very exhausted after navigating the highways for the last 45 minutes.
As you know, I always show up super early to the studio.
You
explicitly
do.
To avoid this situation. It was a hot mess express out there. But I'm finally here, and I walked in on this Louisville City-Tampa Bay talk that gets me excited. Do you know Neil Collins got sacked?
No, really?
Yeah, he went like they went on a little bit of a not-so-great form, but it was kind of the firing where everybody's like, that feels a little premature, but
interesting. Yeah, I mean, he was so good over here, you thought they would give him a little bit of rope
He apparently had a very short rope because I'm pretty sure he did get
at Barnsley. That's where he went, was Barnsley. Oh, interesting. Maybe he comes back. He's definitely a name to watch stateside in the USL for head coaching vacancies around the league.
Oh yeah, if he has interest in returning here, yeah, he'll be near the top of the list.
But I was talking. Let's take a couple steps back now that you're here, because I want to get your thoughts on that argument that I was making. Adrian Perez's injury. Longer term in the mind of Danny Cruz, he said today. Didn't get into specifics, just said a longer term injury. Do we see maybe a guy like Jansen Wilson move up into the formation and play a little bit higher to add a little bit more depth in that spot? Because remember, Ownby's out. Now Perez is out. You're kind of a little bit thin at that right wing. I'm just saying, it's not something that has been discussed that I'm aware of by Danny Cruz, but I think maybe there's something to that if he needs it.
Yeah, I mean, I can certainly see it. And one thing myself as a soccer fan I'm trying to recondition myself on is I think that a lot of players are a lot more flexible positionally than we give them credit for.
Sure.
And oftentimes we don't see that because they excel in very certain roles and they largely are just kept there. So with that said, yeah, sure. I mean, it's certainly possible we could see somebody like a Jansen Wilson kind of moving up the pitch on there. I don't think he's going to be the first choice, but I wouldn't be shocked if it did happen. You know, you got to explore the options, especially if he is going to be out for a longer while. The initial thoughts on when he went out in that previous game was going to be a short-term injury, so I didn't think much of it. But then when Coach Cruz said that today, yeah. Man, I was pretty bummed. I was very excited to see how the season's going to continue to pan out.
He's been amazing this year, Adrian mm-hmm. Perez. I mean, he's a veteran guy, 28 years old, has some MLS experience like we've talked about. He's really one of the better quality players in the USL. He's like a top-line player at the USL level. He's right on that border between being a USL player or an MLS player. And he's been a terrific pickup for Louisville City. Just contributes in so many ways in the attack. He is the glue in the attack so many times because he hasn't racked up the numbers necessarily. But if you looked at the chances that he's created, they track those kind of numbers. He's one of the best players on the team when it comes to that stat.
I'll go even farther and say he is an MLS player. The only reason his MLS career ended is because of a big injury, yeah. And he was just a little bit older. And so obviously, these MLS teams are going to go with the younger guys. So he got dealt a bad hand in that regard. So I still definitely think the quality is there. But yeah, we're going to be missing him in action for a while. I'm thankful that we have the amazing depth that we do on this team. You know, that it gives the team a lot of flexibility to kind of incur these injuries. And thankfully, it's not been too bad. And I'm not sure if you've already mentioned this, but Wilson Harris and Kyle Adams should be in the mix in some capacity. It leads me to believe either they are not going to start, or if they do start, they're going to be a planned substitution. But we'll see what happens there.
Seems like this game against Tampa, maybe just because it's coming up in the month of June and it's on the road, this game feels a little bit underhyped, I'll say. And I think it's also due to the fact that we've been focusing so much on Charleston, as Louisville City observers and Louisville City fans have been focusing on Charleston as well, rightfully so, because they emerged last year as the primary competition in the Eastern Conference, with Tampa taking a slight step back. And then obviously this year, they're the top two teams, not only in the East, but the entire league, Lou City and Charleston. But this Tampa Bay rivalry over the years has been just so much fun, so enjoyable. High-intensity games in the playoffs, in the Eastern Conference Final, three seasons in a row. And it's I've mentioned it a couple of times now, one of the most competitive rivalries in American soccer. And you can't separate them in terms of the all-time series. Six wins for each side and two ties over the course of the all-time series between these two. And Lou City has not gone down to Al Lang Stadium and come out with a win since 2018.
Ooh.
That's a long time ago now.
Wish I didn't hear that stat.
So what are you thinking for this game on Saturday for Louisville City against Tampa Bay? It seems a little bit undersold in the grand scheme of things.
Oh, no, it
totally
is. Because
in years past, this was the marquee game on the calendar.
You can never look past that ugly green and yellow. They are always relevant. They are always good. There was a thorn in our side. I mean, this is a clash of two, we'll say, classic USL powers. You know, I guess the history of the league, I don't feel like goes back super, super far deep. But, you know, this is kind of like a Manchester United, Chelsea kind of deal.
If you're writing the history of the league, these have got to be two of the first five teams that you mention, I'll say. I think Lou City's the first team you mention. I think Tampa's not quite at that level because they haven't broken through for that USL title yet. Even though they've been in the game before, right? The USL Championship Final. But they're always
flirting right around. Right. They're kind of like the Phoenix Rising. They're always like relevant in some capacity. So and they've kind of earned their props. They're doing well this season, so it's going to be another good test. They've particularly done well at home. I'm not particularly overly concerned with Louisville City's away performances, but we haven't been crushing teams like we have been at home. So, I mean, it has all the makings for a very interesting game. And, I feel like some of the more recent matches have been, like, not as exciting on paper, like some of these teams, right? Like North Carolina. Like, sure. They're just...
It's a little ho-hum.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, you this don't get
is
up
a,
for it.
Yeah, here's a little bit of a fire to get people excited and interested. If you're kind of just, looking at the schedule, like, oh, I wonder how many we'll win by. This is far less of a guarantee than some of the others that we've had.
You mentioned great at home for Tampa Bay. Lou City, the best home record in the USL. 7 wins out of 7 games. Outscoring opponents by 23 goals, I think it is now, right after the 2-1 win against North Carolina. Second best record.
It's like there's a slaughterhouse in Butchertown.
It is. Yes, it is a slaughterhouse in Butchertown. Second best home record in the East, Tampa Bay. So this is going to be a difficult one for Louisville City this week. And you talked about that Lou City fans have maybe come to expect big wins. That 2-1 win over North Carolina was a little bit underwhelming, which is ridiculous to say because it was a strong win at home, but it was a little bit underwhelming because the way they've been just thumping teams and thrashing teams at home this year. But this game on the road at Tampa Bay, I think this is the first time this year where we will say if Lou City comes out with a point, that's a successful trip down to Tampa because they've not been able to do it very often. Last year, Tampa Bay won both meetings between these two sides. I know that this is a different Lou City team, just head and shoulders a different Lou City team this year. But a place that they've not won since 2018, I think if they go down there and get a point, that is a successful trip down to Florida.
I don't think the team would agree with you, but I think I would feel okay about that. All things considered, like going to Tampa, and getting a point down there, I wouldn't be heartbroken by it. It would be great to obviously get the win on the road, but I begrudgingly have a lot of respect for them. Again, they're doing well this year, probably better than they were last year. And again, still even last year, I'd say they're always relevant.
Yeah, of course, absolutely.
I would agree and say I'd consider that a success.
It's one of those games where like we've talked about before, Lou City's goal this year: win at home. Maybe steal the occasional game on the road, but win at home, get a point on the road, and you are doing absolutely what you want to do as you're chasing down your first regular season championship for Louisville City here in year 10.
Now, I think what will be particularly interesting about this one is obviously, you got two guys, if they play, I suspect will be on limited minutes. You're missing Perez. Ombi's been out of the mix for a while.
It might be a little bit of a different look team than what we've seen.
Yeah, I feel like we do have a lot of depth, so I'm not overly concerned, but that's another additional factor that if they should win, I think would be a testament to what this team is, the grit that they have, the depth that we have. And I think that would kind of go a long way in sparking some real excitement. There's just a few of these games on the schedule that you look at okay, this one will be interesting because I don't know what's going to happen. And this can tell you a lot about what this team is going to be come playoff time, because this is the type of team that they'll play in the playoffs. Right now, they're setting themselves to play at home, so they don't have to worry about that factor in most scenarios. But
you're going to face the same quality.
That is the quality that you will see. And I mean, these are one game affairs. You have that one off night, you're out of the playoffs. So good test right here to see what happens. We're not hurting for the points as much as we might have been in the past. It'd sure be nice to have all of them.
Sure, absolutely. Still with a game in hand on Charleston, by the way. So the 3 points ahead, played one fewer game. So they've got a little bit of cushion over Charleston right now in the overall league lead and Eastern Conference lead. One other note I'll make about this game before we go to break. We've talked a little bit about Louisville City this month. It's kind of a difficult month for them going away from home. They've only got 2 home games this month. It's a little bit worse for Tampa. This is their only home game this month. 1 out of 5 games this month is at home for them. They just went to Sacramento and Oakland, a little West Coast swing, went 1-1 in that road trip. They'll play Louisville at home Saturday night, and then they'll travel to Hartford and Loudoun, and then a third straight road game at Detroit to open the month of July. So this is the only home game for a long time for Tampa Bay. So they're probably going to be hungry to put on a good performance, take advantage of that home field for the only time they're going to have it for a while. Coming up on Saturday night, 7:30 that game.
Honestly, I don't even think they're looking ahead on the schedule. I think Louisville City is the kind of team that you stop. You don't even look ahead and you prepare for it. All eyes focus on that. And I mean, I think it goes the other way for us as well. I don't even know the game following the Tampa Bay one because that's such a big one occupying my mind. So I'm really excited to see what's going to happen in this one because we have such a good team this year. That'd be great to go ahead and kind of wipe away that haven't won there since 2018.
Oh,
fun fact.
That would be...
I'd like to get rid of that one.
I would say it would be the biggest win Louisville City has had this year if they go down to Tampa and win on the road. They've had great wins at home. They've beaten quality teams at home. But those have all been at home. They've had great wins on the road as well, but they've not beaten a team the quality of Tampa Bay.
I think all factors considered, yeah, I would agree. Yeah. I mean, like, they're just such a good team. Been so good at home.
7:30 on Saturday. We'll have coverage at 7:15 here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Feels like we're just getting started, even though we're 25 minutes into the show.
I'm just getting started.
You're just getting warmed up. We'll get into Racing Louisville. They also are in good form right now, per the soccer parlance. They're winning. Two straight wins for Racing Louisville, and they're at home this weekend in a nationally televised game. ESPN going to broadcast their game against Gotham at noon on Saturday. A big occasion for Racing Louisville, a huge opportunity to not only push further into the playoff race, but make a statement to the soccer-watching country on Saturday that this team is legit, this team is for real. We'll get into that on the other side of the break. Soccer City here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
You're listening to Soccer City on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, back to the latest on Louisville's professional soccer club.
How many times over the course of Racing Louisville's history, this is year four for Racing, it's year 10 for Louisville City, how many times over the course of the time that we've had both teams have we had both playing really well? Feels like this may be the first time that's happened. I'm not trying to slight anybody. I'm just stating facts.
Yeah, I was going to say no comment in respect to Racing, but yeah.
It's just the truth, yeah, man.
No,
it's just
the truth. Yeah.
Racing's playing really well right now. Back-to-back wins for them. They most recently won last week against Houston, 2-0, after a slower first half, I'll say. And now they've got a big occasion on their hands. We talked a lot early in the year about Lou City's CBS debut when they took on Indy 11 at home. This is the similar chance for Racing tomorrow or Saturday. I keep saying tomorrow. I don't know why I think it's Friday. I'm fast-forwarding to the weekend. On Saturday at noon against Gotham on ESPN, big boy ESPN, network ESPN, linear television, something that years ago we wouldn't have even dreamed could happen for either Racing Louisville or Louisville City. And it's had Lou City on CBS earlier this year. Now we got Racing on ESPN. Both games at home, both games at Lynn Family Stadium. The fans showed out for the Indy 11 game. Wasn't the biggest crowd we've ever had, but it was a phenomenal crowd. And into
well,
a crowd.
That was probably one of the best crowds,
yes,
that we had in terms of everybody was hyper-engaged, top-notch performance all around by everybody there.
We need that crowd on Saturday for Racing Louisville. You know why? Because this team is playing really well right now. Their best players are playing really well right now, notably their star, Savannah DeMello. They're in the playoffs right now, sitting in seventh place in the NWSL. Top eight make the playoffs. A win against Gotham. That's a team they're battling with for that playoff spot. Gotham in fifth place in the league right now. Just a big, big occasion for Racing Louisville. And it really couldn't come at a better time, Benton, because, again, they're playing as well as maybe they've ever played right now, Racing Louisville.
I do want to tag off that, but real quick, what's on my mind, mini soapbox. Guys, if you're going to the game on Saturday, drink some water, bring a hat. It's going to be hot. Yes, the sun exists. No sun study is going to fix a noon sun, so just come prepared for that one because it's pretty hot out there today.
Didn't we have a bucket hat giveaway last week? Bring your bucket hat for the
I missed a bucket
giveaway.
Hat giveaway.
I know. You were gone the weekend they gave away bucket hats at Lynn Family Stadium. It's your signature item. You are Mr. Bucket Hat. They probably did it for you. They were in the marketing meeting, and they said, "Oh, Benton, he loves bucket hats. We'll give them away in his honor," and you weren't there.
It's not impossible. But, hey, it was combat sports weekend for me.
That's right.
But, yeah, I'm sad to miss that. Anyway, what I'm really excited about in terms of Racing is you zoom out just a little bit, and you'll see they've got some momentum going, which is something they've rarely ever had and something that I've been wanting desperately for them. You know, they had that 3-3 draw at Kansas City, which I'm going to mark in the positive column because A, it was like a late exciting finish, and B, Kansas City is good.
To me, that's the turning point of the season.
Oh, yeah. No, it's starting to look like it, and they can make it even bigger case if they continue to streak. But, you know, then you got the win over Chicago, just beat Houston, like, they finally got something going, good momentum, something to get excited about and to cling on to. If they can continue things, they could be putting themselves in a very good position to start making some forward momentum on that table. I mean, think back to the last time we played Gotham. I mean, we kind of fumbled that win.
Yeah.
That was at their house. you got to think that our odds are looking pretty good heading into this one.
Yeah, that was the game. Remember, it was a very back-and-forth, entertaining, even game. Racing scored in stoppage time to take the lead. And then literally a minute later, Rose Lavelle tied it to make it 1-1. They're able to get a point on the road at Gotham, the defending champs, by the way, the defending playoff champions. They won the league title last year in the playoffs with San Diego winning the regular season last year. So there's pedigree to this team. They only got better in the offseason because they added Rose Lavelle, as we noted, scoring that goal against Racing Louisville. But it is, right now, in my mind, the biggest swing of momentum that Racing Louisville's ever had. We've seen longer winning streaks. They won 3 games in a row last year, if my memory serves. But right now, 3 games unbeaten, back-to-back shutouts with victories over the last couple of weeks, including most recently against Houston. This is the best that they've looked. This is the best that they've played under a head coach that the team believes in, a head coach with experience in the league, a head coach who is growing leaps and bounds week by week by week in Bev Yanez in her first year as a head coach, period, for an all-time great in the league during her playing career. So Gotham coming in on Saturday, despite their pedigree, despite the stars that they have, if Racing comes out with the right mentality and an early kickoff at noon on national TV, this could be the coming out party nationally for Racing Louisville. This could be the moment where NWSL fans across the country who have done nothing but take a dump on Racing Louisville all 4 years that they've existed for one reason or another, they have loved to kick Racing Louisville, the national NWSL fan and the national media in the NWSL. This is Racing's opportunity to turn all that on its head, to change that narrative completely, put in a good performance, get a third consecutive win and a fourth game unbeaten against the defending champs in your house on national TV. That's the opportunity on Saturday for Racing Louisville.
It's moments like these that kind of make all those draws that we got in the beginning of the season feel like you're pretty good. Like, you're starting to finally see the benefits of everything because they felt so close for so long, continue to be on the cusp, and maybe they're finally kind of getting over that hurdle and becoming a winning team and could very much propel themselves into a comfortable playoff position.
More comfortable. It's going to be a long battle. I'll say that. They're not going to lock anything up on Saturday.
They're not going to lock it up, but they could put themselves in a good spot, and it could be a matter of retaining it rather than trying to climb the ladder, which is climbing is always a much harder task.
100%. Just look at last year, the final day of the season. Remember, there were crazy scenarios where Racing Louisville needed teams to lose by like 12 goals, and they could sneak backdoor into the playoffs if they played well at San Diego. They want to be in a position where they don't need those crazy scenarios, like you mentioned. They want to be in a position at the end of the year where they are defending their position as opposed to trying to take a position in the playoffs. And that's what a win, multiple wins over the course of the year could do. But more to the point that I'm making, Benton, is that Saturday, emotionally and reputation-wise, would be a statement of intent to the rest of the league that this team is legit, that this team is not a doormat, that this team is a contender, that young core that has developed over the last couple of seasons, bringing in players like Taylor Flint in the offseason who have added to it, this core is legit and for real and has arrived. That's the other part of this. We've been talking about it on this show for a year and a half now that, hey, believe in this team. They've got the pieces. They've got the pieces. They just got to get it right, got to get confidence, got to get experience, got to learn how to win. They could prove to the entire National Women's Soccer League on Saturday that they have now learned how to win and that you have to take them very seriously, especially coming here to Lynn Family Stadium. That would be 2 straight wins at home for Racing Louisville if they're able to do it against Gotham on Saturday. There are just so many layers to this in terms of what a win would mean outside of the standings, outside of the point totals, what it would mean emotionally to them and the rest of the league.
I agree. And not often can you walk into a match thinking that this has instant classic potential.
Yes.
And you already drew the comparison to Louisville City's match against Indy on the big CBS
to
and
me,
just
it's
how
the
everything
same,
went perfect. Yes. No, it's the same exact thing. They're being offered that same opportunity. And winners, like champions, they step up to those opportunities. That is what Louisville City has done all their history. And that is one thing we've complained about Racing is they've oftentimes, you know, fumbled those opportunities more than secured them. But this year seems to be different. And I'm feeling pretty optimistic. I think it's our match to lose. How often do we walk in feeling like we're the favorites? I've not looked at any sort of betting odds, but based off the last performance and the team's current track record,
yeah,
my money's on Racing.
One big subplot to watch in this game ties into something we discussed last week on the show. Savannah DeMello scored in three consecutive games for Racing Louisville. First player in Racing's history to do that. She's also now scored five goals this season, tying her career high. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Would she set a new career high this year? Would she hit double figures in terms of the goal-scoring totals? She's on track to, for sure, the way that she's playing right now. And it is an opportunity for her, like it is Racing Louisville, but an opportunity for her to say to soccer fans around the country and also say to Emma Hayes, the new head coach of the U.S. Women's National Team, that she deserves a look in the national team picture, taking on, by the way, Rose Lavelle head-to-head in this game. And that was the scenario in last year's World Cup with Lavelle injured. DeMello replaced her in the lineup.
Rose Lavelle injured?
Well, that's...
Old glass bones?
Yes.
Yeah.
Shocker, right?
Yeah, but she's Cincinnati girl. I like her.
But those two are... They were competing for that position last year, and it was clear that Vlatko last year in the World Cup, if Lavelle was healthy, preferred her to Savannah DeMello. Despite the fact that maybe I'm watching this with biased eyes. I probably had lavender-colored glasses watching the World Cup last year. But I thought DeMello was better than Lavelle was out on the field with that team that was so disappointing last year for the U.S. And now under a new head coach, Lavelle's getting the looks. Savannah DeMello's not even in the conversation with the women's national team. Big opportunity for her on Saturday to lift her team to this big victory, potentially, this statement-making win, but also make a statement of her own that she is one of the best players in the league and that she deserves a look in the women's national team. That's what's at stake for her.
I know it's not the same thing, but it kind of reminds me of like other sports, you know, how they do fan-driven like all-star teams, and oftentimes it's the biggest names that like,
yes,
kind of get on those
That's
rosters.
That's the way the national team
and
works.
Not like the actual statistical best,
yes,
or like the actual best player, you know, like LeBron James getting on every NBA team if maybe he's not even the best. Like, I get it, but if you're a fan of the player who might actually be better, you're like, come on. And that's the camp that we're in. So Savannah's like, all right, I guess I'll turn it up even harder. Like, so Emma has to like pay attention to me.
In the women's national team world, reputation means more than results. Reputation
that
is
the
more...
dumbest sentence I've ever heard.
But it's true.
I believe you. Know,
your
I believe
reputation
you.
Gets you into that team more than what you've done on the field. It's worked by and large, over the course of U.S. women's national team history, obviously, because they've won the World Cup four times. But I think the time is starting to change where you need to not only have a reputation, but you need to be producing in the league to get that call into the women's national team. That time is coming, eventually, where the national team needs to be the players who are playing best right now, as opposed to the players who have the biggest name. It's starting to change in that direction. Will it change in that direction soon enough for Savannah DeMello to break into the picture for the Olympics? She can make a big argument for herself on Saturday at noon on ESPN television. Big chance for Racing Louisville to make a statement to the soccer-watching world on Saturday.
All right, I want to manifest this one.
Do it.
Let's manifest. Got my prayer hands together. I want Savannah DeMello to, score an absolute banger of a goal. And I want her to not only have some sort of marquee, iconic celebration, but I want there to be some sort of sick camera angle of it. You remember the big CBS, some of the cool,
yeah,
camera angles and stuff that we got?
They had the sky imagine cam, her a drone,
like,
shot.
Yeah, imagine her like running up to the flag and some sort of like low panning shot, and she just does something spectacular.
You're visualizing it.
Here. I don't know what exactly she's doing, but just something like where it's like, man, put that picture on a T-shirt. We will remember that one forever. And
that's the kind of moment we could have on Saturday. It could be the biggest moment in Racing Louisville's history, I would say, if they can come up with a big performance on national TV against the defending champs. Lots more to talk about. We're going to do a little kind of grab bag news notes section because there's been a lot of other news around both
of
these
teams. Yeah, a lot of fun stuff to talk about.
A lot of really fun stuff to talk about, just generally, kind of scattered about. So some quick hit news notes on the other side of the break. We're with you till the top of the hour, 7 o'clock. Every Thursday we talk about Racing Louisville and Louisville City here on Soccer City on ESPN Louisville.
You're locked on Soccer City right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, back to the latest on Louisville's professional soccer clubs.
Lou City, Racing Louisville, not the only teams in the Soccer Holdings umbrella that are playing really well right now. And Savannah DeMello, not the only DeMello in the Soccer Holdings umbrella that's playing really well right now. Racing Louisville's W League team, just a quick note on them. They are, if you want to think about it, kind of like the reserve team for Racing, even though that's not an exact comparison. But that's kind of what it should be and eventually may be. Savannah DeMello's younger sister playing on the W League team. They had a win on Wednesday against a team called St. Charles FC, 7-0. Let's just put that out there. That's fun for them. And Michaela DeMello, the younger DeMello, had a hat trick in that game. Maybe one day we see DeMello's sisters playing on Racing Louisville's senior team. Just going to put it out there. Quick note there on Racing Louisville's other team. Other notes that we're getting into, lots of other news around Louisville professional soccer, particularly over the last 2 days. We got word yesterday, technically, and then Soccer Holdings made their announcement today that Louisville and the professional soccer facilities here in Louisville have been selected by FIFA to potentially serve as a home base for a national team in the upcoming 2026 FIFA World Cup. If you weren't aware, 2 years from now, I think it was 2 years from yesterday, the start of the 2026 World Cup, it's going to be hosted here in the U.S. jointly with Canada and Mexico, but a vast majority of the games will be taking place here on American soil. And FIFA has vetted out potential home bases for these national teams. So when they come over to the U.S., they'll kind of have a place where they stay and travel out for the games and then come back to. And Louisville could be one of those places. It has been pre-selected, if you will, to be one of those places. And it's just something that's really, really cool, really, really neat. Not the most significant news for Louisville soccer fans. Doesn't really mean anything for Lou City or Racing Louisville. But what it says, Benton, is that our city, our soccer city, a little plug to the name of the show, has evolved to the point where we could host a FIFA World Cup team. That's pretty darn cool.
So I'm a fan of these like stupid nitty gritty like details, kind of like how the sausage is made, and so kind of like learning about the, you know, the process for these like hosting sites, you know, that they kind of release them almost like in tiers, and to find out that we're in that like top tier class where pretty much FIFA is saying like, hey, somebody needs to be here because these facilities are great, is a pretty awesome testament. And you also got to think about this. And it's bugging the heck out of me. I thought of this earlier today. I can't exactly remember the source. It was something around like the 98 World Cup in France. Sure. I want to say I was listening to a podcast on the USA team from that era. They like stayed secluded somewhere like in France, like outside the big city from the distractions, like while they got ready. And so when you think of it in terms of teams coming over to the USA for the World Cup, like, man, wouldn't it be distracting to be in New York, Chicago, Miami, any of these big markets? Louisville, pretty centrally in the in the States, got some great training facilities. I don't know. Maybe it could attract some pretty big names. We do have a pretty big German team coming here this way. Wouldn't it be pretty neat if the German national team's like, you know what? That might be the move right there.
Yeah, I mean, that would be really cool. Germany, obviously, one of the blue blood teams.
I'm fantasizing
soccer
a little bit. A lot of my soccer fandom stems from the German national team. But the point being is that, like, we are a pretty clutch setup in terms of what teams are going to be looking for. You know, you got to think other additional costs surrounding it are going to be lower compared to bigger markets. We already talked about the location.
We've got the hotel infrastructure.
Less distractions and some of the big glitz and glamour that the whole country has to offer in some of the bigger markets. Like, pretty nice spot to land in. But it's but again, I really do like the testament to what has been built here in our city, that where FIFA, this global soccer entity, is like, somebody has to be here. Like, it's a damn shame if somebody doesn't set up their base camp in Louisville.
Yeah, it's wild to think about 10 years ago, Lou City is playing on a baseball field with AstroTurf over the dirt with a retractable mound. It felt, no offense to anybody that was around at the time, I was around at the time, a lot of fans were still around at the time, felt very minor league, right?
But it was charming and we love it.
That's right.
We don't want to go back, but we loved it.
I'm not dissing it. I'm just saying it is a different world than having a World Cup team potentially stay here and also having, as you mentioned, Eintracht Frankfurt coming to town. We talked about it with Jonathan Lintner a couple of weeks ago when he filled in for you. They're going to be here for like 2 weeks. They're doing their training camp from here. And that's a legit top-level Champions League-level club.
Mario Götze, who scored the game winner in the World Cup final in 2014, is on that team. I will absolutely get my picture with him. I'm going to make that happen.
And they're going to be here for a couple of weeks.
I know, it's so excited.
I think you're right. I think that'll be a little bit of a litmus test And one of those World Cup teams will probably reach out to Frankfurt and say, hey, how did that go? How did you enjoy your time there? How were the facilities? How was the city? How were the hotels?
There will literally be guys who have ties to national teams, whether they're still playing or not. They will have affiliations that will be there. Like, there's a lot of word of mouth there. The soccer world is a lot smaller than you think.
Yeah, and it's also interesting from this perspective, selfishly. Obviously, I'll be rooting for the U.S. in the 2026 World Cup. Hey, I might have a little second favorite team now. You know, team from Louisville, kind of, sort of, no matter who they are, from where they are in the world. So that was announced today officially by Soccer Holdings, something to look forward to potentially come the 2026 World Cup. We could have a national team staying with us here for a couple of weeks in the summer. That ties in nicely, though, to the next little news note that we have. We now know, semi-unofficially, we'll get the official word eventually in a few days' time, of who the second international friendly will be this summer for Louisville City. Mentioned Eintracht Frankfurt, top quality team, Champions League level team out of Europe. They won the Europa League just a couple of years ago. They're a Bundesliga team. I mean, it is just a huge brand to come face off with Louisville City, a huge club to come face off with Louisville City. They're going to dip back down into Mexico for this, for the second friendly, like they did last year with Atlante. This time it's going to be Cancun. A team from Cancun coming to Louisville.
That's middle-class America's Mexican team right
yes,
there.
That is exactly right. Let's go. Right. Yes. They're from the second division in Mexico, just like Atlante was last year. But still, a team that will come to Louisville and attract fans who don't typically come out to Louisville City games. Last year for the Atlante game, you saw all kinds of Liga MX, the Mexican League, jerseys. Club America, Tijuana, Cruz Azul, Chivas, on and on and on. Those fans came out for that game. They'll come out for this game, I would expect. And it's an opportunity to kind of present your product, if you're Louisville City. Present both the stadium and your team to a segment of the Louisville community and the soccer-watching Louisville community that isn't right now seemingly very engaged with the Louisville City product. So it's a huge opportunity there.
We should do a one-in-one series. We should go away to Cancun.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Well, they should have a big media presence,
That's
so they
right.
might as well send us.
They should
us.
Take the radio broadcast down with them, too. Yeah, we got to go on that road trip. Just a couple of minutes left. We've got a couple more notes to get to. The third kit for Louisville City, the third jersey, going to be announced on Monday. A lot of fanfare around jerseys always. I know you are a big collector of Louisville City memorabilia.
Much to my wife's dismay.
And generally, I would assume you'll be one of the first people in line to get this third kit when it comes out.
I got an early look at it. Can confirm it is
sneak preview, huh?
Yeah, I can confirm it is clean, and I'm excited to see it in person. You know, I only got to see a picture of it, I didn't get to see the real thing.
Sure,
but I wasn't mad.
Positive review or negative review from you?
Positive.
Thumb up for on the
I mean,
little
they,
sneak
they've
preview.
Had, they've had more boring ones. Like with all due respect, like last year's, like I liked the color gradient thing going on, but it was a down year for
sure.
The third kit last year.
This is an up year in your mind.
This is up from that. Yeah.
Okay. Looking forward to that on Monday. Mark your calendars. I'm sure there will be a nice social media rollout, and they'll be available.
A lot of strong opinions on the kits.
There's always strong opinions on uniforms and sports and jerseys and sports.
It's fun.
And then the last news note that we're going to get to before we wrap up, a little bit off the spectrum from a Louisville City perspective, but still relates to Louisville City in a big way. Jonathan Gomez, Jogo, we remember him from a couple of years ago, right? Young star. Sold to Real Sociedad in Spain, kind of the precursor to the Josh Winder move last year where he was sold to Benfica in Portugal. Put Louisville City on the map in a lot of ways as a player on the international player market, that there is a legitimate chance here for American players to come here and develop and be sold to big clubs in Europe. Real Sociedad, one of the big clubs in Spain. They're not Real Madrid. They're not Barcelona. They're not Atletico Madrid, but they're in kind of that second tier behind those three in the Spanish soccer scene. So a big move there. He might be on the move again. Reports about a week ago, not by anybody necessarily very credible, but still, there was some rumor.
No blue check marks.
Well, blue check marks these days don't mean quite what they used to.
I forgot. I think there were, it's Elon's Twitter now.
Yeah, there were a lot of blue check marks reporting this. Nobody with a reputation. Not like Tom Bogert or anybody like that from The Athletic. Nobody that I would pin my reputation to. But rumors and reports that he would be on the move to Mexico, potentially Chivas in Guadalajara, one of the big Mexican teams with a big following and a big reputation. And what is important to point out about this potential move, if it is made, if it is a sale, Lou City gets 10% of that number. That's part of the deal when he went to Sociedad. It was reported by The Athletic to be for $100,000 with a 10% sell-on clause. So the next deal, if Jogo were to leave Sociedad and go to another team anywhere in the world, 10% of that deal would be kicked back to Louisville City. And the point I'm making here, Benton, depending on what the number looks like, if he is sold to Chivas, that could be a bigger payday for Louisville City on the second deal than the initial payday was for Jogo. And that would absolutely be huge for Louisville City to get another check, chance to invest further in the team, invest further in the stadium, invest further in the infrastructure, however you want to look at it. Money into the bank, into the pocket of Louisville City.
It'll definitely be more than the initial thing. You got to think worst case scenario, you're just kind of re-upping on that same like 100,000 or so that it was. Yep. You got to imagine he'll go for what, like a couple million. I don't think he's in 10 million territory, especially if you're going to Mexico. That's still like a pretty nice payday. And honestly, in terms for Jogo himself, probably a good move. He never really broke through to the first team picture. And I think that if he were to make a move like that, he would be very much kind of in that mix right there. And, you know, I don't think he's committed his allegiance to Mexico or the USA. So it kind of gets him closer to those scenes and in those circles there.
Still a young dude, still 19 years old, spent last season on loan.
He's only 19 still? Wow.
Spent last season on loan with Mirandés, a team in the second division in Spain. Played significantly with them, 38 games, 32 starts with them last year. So he's starting to build that experience in Europe. If he moves anywhere, it could be a potentially big payday for Louisville City, relatively speaking. I think he might go for a million and a half, something in that range, maybe two.
I think it'd be a little higher.
But it would 10% of that would go back to Louisville City, and it would probably be a bigger check than that.
Back up the Brinks truck.
So some things to watch around the world that pertain to your two favorite soccer teams. A huge weekend in store. Racing Louisville with the biggest chance they've had this year to make a statement against Gotham, and Louisville City with one of their biggest rivals Saturday night at Tampa Bay.
Vamos, Marauders.
No, you know what, man, it's good to see you. I got a chance to travel last couple weeks for Stockton Mortgage. USDA, Tennessee. Yeah, so there is a thing called Blue Star, Blue Oval City. And it's like a city really of itself, and it's all of the battery